Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Sarah D'Elia, in for Mike Collins.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again.
With summer in full swing and vacation season underway, we're buckling up to find the best road trip destinations around Charlotte and the state today. North Carolina's got a lot, from the ocean to the mountains to the country and city life. There's plenty to explore. So how do you pick the right destination for you? What should you keep in mind when it comes to planning a road trip out, traveling sustainably, and how do you find those rare off-the-beaten-path adventures? We've assembled a panel of traveling experts to give their tips and tricks this hour of Charlotte Talks. My guests today are Christina Riley, the co-founder of NC Tripping, a website dedicated to North Carolina travel filled with personal reviews and suggestions. Carol Klein is a professor and the director of Hospitality and Tourism Management Program at Appalachian State University, and she's also involved in a program called Uplift, a project that aims to support tourism through community-driven efforts in rural North Carolina. And Jeremy Markovich. He's a writer, producer, and the creator of the North Carolina Rabbit Hole newsletter and works in the communications department at Wake Forest University. Thank you all so much for being here. We want to hear from you, our listeners, today with your traveling questions and your recommendations. So if you've found a spot in North Carolina that you'd be willing to share with us, we hope that you'll tweet us at Charlotte Talks, or you can write in at charlottetalks@wfae.org. So there's some overlap between you all, and you're all traveling experts in your own right. I wanted to start today's show off by giving listeners a sense of how each of you come to travel in North Carolina, what keeps you interested in exploring our state. And Christina, I'm going to start with you. Your family moved back to the States after living overseas in South Korea, and you could pick anywhere to live, but you picked North Carolina. What drew you to the state, and what inspired you to start NC Tripping?
Sure. So I actually came to North Carolina because my sister was in the Navy, and she had taken a job in Durham after the Navy. And when we were in Korea, we were like, where are we going to go next? Because we had kind of been living in our backpacks for the last 5 years, and North Carolina spoke to us. We came in 2013 and absolutely fell in love. Part of that was the craft beer scene. It was just being somewhere new and different that felt like home, because all the other places that we lived before didn't quite feel like home. So we landed in 2015 in North Carolina and decided to make this home and treat our travels like we were abroad in Korea, in North Carolina too. So we started looking at the map and picking little points and just being like, I wonder what's there. And from that story, we had been blogging the whole time that we were living in Korea, and we decided to just make NC Tripping and focus in on North Carolina, because we felt like nobody was really doing it. And as a way to search and provide our experiences, it was all along, it was just meant to share our story, and it grew into something super amazing, and we're really proud of it.
Yeah. Your website is very organized, which I love. You can like click on what part of the state you want to go to, kind of what activities you're into. It's very nice. How do you decide what you want to review or where you want to go?
First, it's mostly food driven.
Excellent.
Big foodies. And we also love hiking. And so those two kind of come together of where can we find a waterfall? Where can we find a mountain? Where can we find a trail? Or where can we find some barbecue? Or where can we find something that is unique to that area? So I think that's really what it is every place has something that is unique to that area. And that has kind of been the driving force for us of what can you find that's new that only happens there? So that's been it.
Well, Jeremy, you've written about, you've done podcasts, you've, you know, explored North Carolina for many a year now. I think that's fair to say. What is it about the state that keeps you interested in exploring it? I'm kind of surprised that you haven't discovered everything in North Carolina at this point. Oh, it seems that we are not connected with Jeremy right now. I'm going to move to Carol. And Carol, I'm going to ask you about the project that you're involved with Uplift, the Uplift program. It looks like you kind of, let's talk about that project, what that is and how it serves rural communities in the part of the state.
Yeah, happy to. The Uplift project is funded by federal dollars. They are COVID relief dollars. And while COVID obviously brought us terrible things, it did also bring a lot of relief money to different industries, travel, tourism, outdoor recreation. We don't ever see this type of relief money. Mm-hmm. So this is a really big opportunity for all of the states, but particularly for North Carolina, to support areas that don't normally get this type of financial assistance. We have a team of people all over the state that work with our visitor bureaus to not only support the development of new tourism product, new experiences, but also leverage the marketing power of the local marketing agencies to help spread the word.
And what counties is this focusing on in North Carolina?
Gosh. We have 20 core counties, and then we also serve the counties outside, contiguous to mm-hmm. those 20. So all in all, it comes out to about 60 counties. We're mainly in the eastern part of the state and the Piedmont part of the state. We also do a little bit in the northwest around Surrey, Wilkes, but we stay in the areas that just haven't gotten the attention historically from a support or tourist standpoint.
Great. All right, we're going to go back to Jeremy. I believe his mic is fixed. And Jeremy, the question is, what keeps you excited after many years of exploring North Carolina? What keeps you excited about finding new places? How do you find new places when you've, you know, lived in a state for a long time? Tell us about that.
That's a good question. I mean, I've been here for, I've lived in North Carolina since 2005. And then I've lived in outside of the Greensboro area since about 2015. One thing is, I was lucky enough to work for Our State Magazine for about 6.5 years and wrote for them for a while. And so, my job was to just travel around to places mm-hmm. big and small and find interesting things and like, oh, what is a quintessential North Carolina experience? Or what is something that is maybe hasn't been highlighted before that we should check out? And I think that experience, along with just sort of my natural curiosity, leads me to find places that are unique and interesting and off the beaten path, or there's a story there that really explains why something is the way that it is. And the great part about North Carolina, and this is not at the expense of other states, but the diversity in North Carolina, in every sense of the word, is so strong and so great. And you have, you know, the geography, the mountains, the coast, you have people, you have big cities, small towns, you have places that are really rooted in the past. You have places that are brand new. You have people bringing their cultures from everywhere. And so, like, you could do a different style of story. You could find a different place. You could find somebody doing something new in this state in a way that, like, you know, you would maybe be able to find quite as easily in other places. So I think that's the thing that kept me interested, and it keeps me interested. And then the great thing is, as a writer, as somebody who is looking for stories, who is curious about stuff and wondering why things are the way that they are, you can just find that here, and you can travel around to so many different places, and they're so unique. So that really just keeps me going. It's like there's no bottom to North Carolina, really.
Yeah, well said. We want to hear your traveling questions today and your recommendations. If you are willing to share them, we'd love to hear them and share them with other listeners. You can write in at charlottetalks@wfae.org or send us a tweet. So sometimes the hardest part of setting out on a good road trip is planning where you're going to end up. We're going to start locally. Christina, I'm interested in hearing your suggestion when it comes to traveling around Charlotte. So let's say I'm a Charlottean. I want to stay 1 to 2 hours away from the city. Where would you recommend that I go?
I think I would probably first start with what are you interested in? Because there's a whole gamut to it of like, are you interested in history? Then maybe you should check out Old Salem and Winston-Salem. Are you into the weird? Like, have you been to Southern Grace Distilling, where there's a distillery inside of a prison, a former prison, which is super cool? Are you a family? Are you looking to do like some pedal boats on Lake Norman or Wine Country or the North Carolina Transportation Museum? There's something all up and down within an hour's drive from Charlotte that you can experience. So it kind of starts from there of like, what kind of traveler are you? If you're looking for some hikes, we love Crowder's Mountain. You can get great views from Charlotte, less than 30 minutes outside of Charlotte. You continue with that with some more hiking. South Mountain State Park is an hour 20. There's some great hiking and a wonderful waterfall there too.
Great. Carol, and same question for you. If you have company coming in from out of town, where are you suggesting that they go?
Right. Well, right around the Charlotte area, I'm going to start off talking about, and again, all of my responses are my contribution here are brand new experiences. Mm-hmm. So things that people may not have heard about that are up and coming. Right around the Charlotte area, I would call attention to Culture Queens Outdoors. They are a new group who create opportunities for women of color to enjoy arts, culture, and outdoor events and activities. This is in Charlotte, but also they do road trips right outside of Charlotte. The Uwharrie Mountains, not a new thing, but the Uwharries are very close to Charlotte. Within the Uwharries area, Starworks is a very cool working studio where you'll find lots of local artists. And the facility of where Starworks is a story in and of itself, because it's this renovated, very cool warehouse. It's a great example of how creative our rural communities are when it comes to transforming their economy into things that visitors like. And the last thing I would mention is if you're in Charlotte and you go north to that northwest part of the state, there's the Sonker Trail and the Ground Stake Trail. So I bet Christina knows all about that because she's a foodie. And if you don't know what a Sonker is, I would say I didn't. I had to look that up. But it's kind of like a cobbler. Those are two things I would mention.
Interesting. Jeremy, I want to pose this question to you. How does traveling change, especially when you're in a road trip, when you bring children along, when it's not just you or you and a significant other or you and a friend? How does that change the dynamic and what you need to be prepared for in a road trip?
Basically, it changes the dynamic, I think, around food. Because at least with my kids, it's like, what are we going to eat? Or is food the central part of it? You know, I mean, so we came down, actually, I live outside of Greensboro. I'm in Carolina Beach right now, not near Wilmington. Is this going to be a food trip for us? No. Did we decide we're all going to be able to eat cookout and everybody likes cookout and milkshakes? Yes. So we didn't decide to have a big food destination thing. So that one thing is around food. I think the other thing is, and this is a little bit more just building in kind of downtime for your kids to be able to just stretch their legs. And maybe that is along the road trip. Maybe that is when you get there. But maybe not having things quite as tightly scheduled. Your agenda really can't be super, super detailed because, even I like, we got to be here and then here and then here and then here. The transition time just takes a while. So in general, with kids, just loosen up the agenda and just find places that they will be able to eat and be happy.
When we come back, we'll venture further out from Charlotte and travel to other parts of the state, and we'll keep the conversation going with your recommendations and questions. You're listening to Charlotte Talks on WFAE.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, using Mazda's customer-centric approach to cars to create a car buying and servicing experience where the customer is the center of their business. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.
Listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Sarah D'Elia in for Mike Collins. And whether you've been everywhere as an experienced traveler or you're just starting to dip your toes into road tripping, we've got you covered. My guests today are Christina Riley, the co-founder of NC Tripping, a website dedicated to North Carolina travel. Carol Klein is here. She's a professor and the director of the Hospitality and Tourism Management Program at Appalachian State University, and also involved in a program called Uplift, a project that aims to support tourism through community-driven efforts in rural North Carolina. And Jeremy Markovich is here. He's a writer, producer, journalist, and creator of the North Carolina Rabbit Hole newsletter. Before we dive into our next topic, I wanted to circle back to family trips because I'm sure that is a topic that lots of our listeners are curious about. And Carol, you had some suggestions, especially regarding farms and kids.
I want to talk about farms. It's, you know, a classically wholesome type of destination. And there's so much range in agritourism across our state, not only the geography, but not only the products, the food products that you can get there, but the experiences that you can have. There are farms that are almost unrecognizable as farms because they focus solely on entertainment. There are wedding venues, but there are a lot of kid-friendly activities. And now that we are, you know, firmly in July, it's blueberry picking season. And so I'm going to mention one farm that's about 2 hours away from Charlotte. And I'm mentioning them only because I just discovered them and am so excited about them. But you can find so many different farms on the NC Farms app. To see if there's another type of you pick near you. But this farm is Many Acres Farm, Many as in M-I-N-I, a small acres farm. And they have the most gorgeous blueberry bushes I think I've ever seen. They have goats, they have they have bees, they do have solar panels. They're very sustainable and renewable. But best of all, in my heart, they have donkeys. Oh, wow. And so there are so many things about Many Acres Farms and the multitude of farms across our state that I cannot speak highly enough. And the best thing about going to a farm, I think, is that you know that you're contributing to the local economy. Mm-hmm. It's hard. Farming is hard. And so you're able to know that you're supporting someone who has a very important role in our lives.
We have a listener suggestion that came through email. Joseph writes, the WNC Sculpture Center is a 12-acre sculptures park, which is free and open to the public 7 days a week, located in Lenoir, North Carolina. We have a working studio that welcomes sculptors from around the country and holds a series of events throughout the year. Well, that sounds really cool. Thanks, Joseph, for writing in. If you have a tip or trick about road tripping in North Carolina, be sure to write us at charlottetalks@wfae.org or send us a tweet. Well, one place that North Carolinians and tourists are going to flock to this summer, and Jeremy is a prime example, is the beach. We've got the Outer Banks, we've got Hatteras Island, we've got Wilmington with Carolina Beach. It's a lovely drivable destination, but it can also be crowded and crazy. So, Jeremy, I will start you there because you are on location. I am curious to hear what your favorite North Carolina beach activities are and, you know, how do you navigate what can be kind of a chaotic scene at times?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the reason why you're all going is to go to the ocean. To some degree, some people love to just park out there for as long as they possibly can. Some people like to dip their toe in it, and so I think you need to kind of figure out if you were looking for a place to rent, to a place to stay, exactly how far you want to go with that. If you're just like, I'm kind of okay with the beach, but I kind of like the vibe. Then you might not necessarily want to get a place that is like right on the waterfront. You might be able to save by being a little bit further back. And then when it comes to like, actually, I think like trying to worry about the crowds, this week here is going to be very busy at Carolina Beach. On Memorial Day here was as busy as I've ever seen it. So I think just trying to navigate, you know, the weeks, to, if you're going to go on a holiday, you just have to expect a lot of people. If you are here, and I think the biggest thing is, where do you want to eat? Where do you want to spend time? Like, if how much do you want to cook versus how much do you want to go out to eat? And I think in a lot of places, I mean, Wrightsville Beach, there's a lot of places there that are like kind of a little higher end. You can always, like, for example, here in Carolina Beach, if you want to get a really good meal, you can go into Wilmington. If you're in like the Emerald Isle, Atlantic Beach area, you can go to Beaufort, Morehead City, and the Outer Banks are their own thing as well. I mean, so like, figure out kind of where you want to eat, plan that out. And the default tends to be stuff that is fried. So if you want something, I mean, I love fried food as much as the next person. I have a limit to how much I can eat now before I feel funny, because, you know, I just can't process it like I used to. So like, I basically really want to find a place where it's like, okay, if we're going to go out to eat, just don't pick any single place. Maybe be intentional about the meals that are not going to be sort of the quintessential fried stuff. Although, if you go down to Calabash, like really southern, like tip, like that's their whole thing. Like, you should definitely get that. Like, that's the best of the best when it comes to fried. But you definitely want to make sure you plan out sort of your cooking meal, that sort of thing, because otherwise the default is just can be the same thing over and over again at a beach.
Christina, I see you nodding your head a lot in agreement with Jeremy. Any foodie tips when you know, discovering that part of the state, or any places that you all have reviewed that you've really enjoyed?
Yeah, I think along with Jeremy, I also have a limit to how much fried food I can handle. And I've found that, especially because we're often traveling with our kids when we're on anywhere, that dinner is going to be the busiest, and kids have a threshold that they're not going to sit and wait an hour and a half for a table. So for us, what we tend to do is we tend to eat a light breakfast at home in the rental or whatever. And then we'll go out to eat for lunch, because I feel like lunch, you can have a big meal and then go back and have something fresh. We often hit the fresh seafood markets when we're along the coast and take that back. And that's going to be our dinner. We'll do a low country boil, or we'll do something to avoid the crowds, get to bed relatively early with the younger kids and go from there. Because I feel like you are going to face crowds when you're at the beach. It's inevitable.
Jeremy.
Yeah. And one thing to add even to that is, just because you get fish at the beach doesn't mean it's like they just caught it wherever you are. So I know that is the intention, like, oh, the seafood here, it's going to be great. It must be locally caught. Not necessarily. So I think, like, to Christina's point, seeking out the places that are fresh caught. I mean, here in Carolina Beach, Blackburn Brothers, literally the backside of it backs up to the dock, and they just get stuff off of the boat. And if you want shrimp that is caught locally, if you want the stuff that comes right out of the ocean, that is the place to go. So when you go to restaurants, depending on where you go, you might be rolling the dice a little bit on whether your fresh fish is actually fresh.
What about food festival recommendations? Carol, do you have any?
Yeah, I have I love food festivals. I mean, what's not to love? You go, you've got all these vendors, you get options. I could speak to a few different food festivals. And we really are coming up on the food festival season, summer, and then going into fall, which is a typical harvest season, is the best time to check out different food festivals. The Yam Festival that goes on near the coast, that's not until October, but that is something to look out for. That is in Columbus County, North Carolina. One of our listeners was talking about the sculptures in Lenore. Lenore is also home to the Blackberry Festival, which I think would be coming up pretty soon, or would be about now, because of blackberry season. So I would encourage listeners to, you know, go to NC Festivals, which has a list of all kinds of different food and non-food festivals around the state, to find that food that appeals to you. I will mention one really unique one, because again, I'm going to go to these off the beaten path places. In Granville County, there is the North Carolina Hot Sauce Festival.
Oh.
Yeah, and so Granville County is just north of Durham, but worth the drive.
We'll be there.
Amazing.
So excited about it.
We'll all
Be
crash with
there.
Christina. Well, North Carolina is also home to many vibrant art scenes. Of course, I think Asheville comes off, when you're thinking about the arts, and it's wonderful, and everyone should go to Asheville. But I want to talk about some of maybe the lesser known art scenes. I mean, that's something when I'm traveling personally, I like to go check out a city or a town's downtown, and I like to see what the local art scene is like to get kind of a vibe for the heartbeat of that city. So, Christina, I'm going to start with you. Are there any places in particular outside of like the ones that we think about, like Asheville, that have vibrant art scenes that are worth checking out?
Well, yeah, I think that you can't talk about art without bringing up Seagrove.
Mm.
Seagrove, you have the highest concentration of potters living in one area. And it is just super cool to you start at the North Carolina Pottery Center. They can give you recommendations on which studios to go to based upon what you like and your preferences. And even then, I have gone around to five different studios in one day, and you are talking to the potters. They are there. They are in the studio. And if you ask really, 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 really nicely, they'll take you back to the kiln and they'll show you all the cool processes. And like, I have seen like sparks flying from random things and just super cool things to interact with artists that way. It's an adorable part of the state and definitely one that I don't think should be missed.
Carol, what about your recommendations?
Yeah, I agree with Christina so much. I got so excited when you brought up art, Sarah, and you saw me get really excited. Your listeners can't see them, but these fabulous earrings that I have on, they're like stylized, big flower, silver. I got them at a local art gallery in Williamston, North Carolina. So I love going, whenever I go to a small town, I love visiting the Arts Council because usually there's a gift shop there that displays a lot of local art. I would say probably 25 to 30% of the art in my house is from little towns around North Carolina. You're finding fabulous art, you're supporting local artists, and you're not paying, like Charlotte Gallery prices. So it's really fun to hunt around. I mentioned Starworks earlier, near the Uwharries. But yeah, I think you can find a treasure just about anywhere in our state.
And Jeremy, what are your artsy recommendations?
Well, I think like up in the mountains, especially, I think the Pentland School of Crafts up there really drives a lot of really interesting stuff. And this is in the Burnsville kind of spruce pine area up there. And I've been up there a lot of times. Like, the amount of work and the number of the kind of folks that are up there doing amazing work is really, really great. And I also want to say, I just gave this recommendation to a coworker of mine. Just public art, finding interesting stuff. Go into Wilson or Wilson. Just if you're gonna say, you have to say Wilson. The Whirligig Park, the Whirligig. I mean, it's just like all these kind of gigantic metal whirling things. And it is a definite place to stop off. That is a kid-friendly thing where they will just go up there and look up at slack-jawed at these things.
That's great. Carol, any more recommendations?
Well, I just went to the Blowing Rock Art and History Museum last week, and they have a brand new exhibit about Maude Gatewood, who is a very well-known artist nationally, but maybe not so much in North Carolina. And it is so well curated. Maude Gatewood is from Yanceyville, North Carolina, in Caswell County, where also Thomas Day is from, the very well-known African American furniture maker. And so that area in Caswell County, Yanceyville, Milton, that is such a treasure to learn about these important folks from North Carolina, both in the arts and furniture industries. But Maude Gatewood, Blowing Rock Art and History Museum, I would absolutely not miss that. It'll be there for 6 months.
Wow, Bill in Davidson emails us, my secret for North Carolina travel is getting lost. When I taught summers, he said that his goal was to go out wandering in the mountains at least once a week on his bike, once in the car, usually sometimes exploring the Blue Ridge Parkway, often just up some hilly dirt road, found lots of amazing scenery, great views, fascinating little remote communities, waterfalls galore, and occasionally some fascinating little country store or lunch counter. We've done it all over the state and elsewhere, but it's really great to do in North Carolina. And I think, Jeremy, that's kind of the heartbeat of what your newsletter does, is finding those things off the beaten path and probably getting lost a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about this particular thing quite a bit. And I think just by way of definition, I think there is a difference today in our modern era of like finding something versus discovering something. Because if you want to find something, you know how to find it by now, right? Like if you, like, I want Indian food, I can find that. I can go on Google or Yelp and find that. Discovering something is very different and much, I would say, just as hard as it used to be back in the olden days. And I think, especially now, and I think about this when, you know, bringing kids to places or going places with kids, how do you discover new places when you sort of have to have a regimented schedule? You can't just wander around with the kids, maybe because they're, you know, at least our kids want some kind of structure. And the best thing I can think of is, as you are building in your road trip, as you're saying, you know what, I'm going from point A to point B, and in the middle, instead of just driving straight there, there's something in the middle. It's a small town. I wouldn't normally go there. And so while I'm on the way, why don't I just stop and kind of give myself an hour to wander around the downtown? And I've done this. The most recent example, I guess, is, and I wasn't with my kids in this instance, but like somebody from Raleigh was like, we should meet up for lunch. And I'm like, I'm in Greensboro. That's far. But we just found like Burlington is in the middle. And I'm like, I've never really gone to Burlington. We went to Zach's. Zach's been around for forever. I really wanted to try this thing where they substitute a hot dog with just a block of cheese to see what that's like. I had that. It's fine. But also was walking around Burlington and like stumbled into a record shop, stumbled into a coffee shop, saw some public art. I felt like, oh, this is interesting. I could come back here. I think building those little things in, so you're not always like, I'm going to pick a spot on the map and just go there and see what happens, to like, oh, I'm going to build in an hour or maybe a little bit longer, lunchtime, something like that, and just see what it is. And then you kind of get to know places in your state that you would never know otherwise. That maybe is one way to dip your toe into discovery, I think.
When we come back, we're going to look at destinations in the state that are a little further off, but well worth the travel, as well as how to find places off the beaten path that you may have never thought to discover before. I'm Sarah D'Elia. This is Charlotte Talks.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, incorporating Mazda's customer-centric vehicle design by making the customer the center of business to create a better car buying experience. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.
This is Charlotte Talks on WFAE. I'm Sarah D'Elia. Today, we're hitting the road, and to help us do so, my guests are Christina Riley, the co-founder of NC Tripping, a website dedicated to North Carolina travel. Carol Klein is a professor and the director of the Hospitality and Tourism Management Program at App State. And Jeremy Markovich. He's a writer, producer, and the creator of the NC Rabbit Hole newsletter. And we want to hear your traveling questions and suggestions, your tips and tricks. If you can email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org, we'll share those on the air, or you can send us a tweet. And we're going to go a little even further out into the state now. But before we do so, I did want to plug a listener suggestion. Gordon wrote us and said the Sullenberger Aviation Museum next to Charlotte Airport, it just opened and we visited Saturday. It was excellent. Lots of planes, including the Miracle on the Hudson that was revived from the New York Harbor. Has lots of interactive things for kids and very well done. Worth the visit. So just wanted to add that Charlotte connection before we go further out in the state. So question for the panel. Let's say you have 4 or 5 days off, multiple days off in a row, you can afford to drive out a little further. Where are you going to go personally? Christina, I'm going to start with you.
I mean, so interestingly enough, since we were talking about the beach, typically our family does a week at the beach every year. And we decided this year that we're going to skip the beach week and we're going to spend, take what you would normally spend for an entire week at the beach. Turns out you can get a place in the mountains for the entire month. So that's what we've decided to do this year. We're going to be heading to Silva in a couple of days, which is in Jackson County. We haven't spent a lot of time there. In fact, I've only been there once. I was there over Christmas. Absolutely beautiful town, very welcoming, lots of things to do, surprisingly great food scene, and a ton of hiking. You're right there near the NC Waterfall Byway. So you've got the Dry Falls, Coolisaja, Schoolhouse Falls. I'm just so excited to be playing in the water all the summer, basically, and kind of beating the crowds and also beating the humidity. So that's my tip is for the summer, while everyone's at the beach, we're going to the mountains.
That's great. What about you, Carol?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I'm going to also come inland from the beach and think about all of the treasures we have in our inner banks. You know, there's so many abundant rivers, the Kashai River. If you wanted to do something super rough and rustic, you could stay in one of the tree houses that are offered in Bertie County around Windsor, North Carolina. Gosh, there's also in that northeast area of the state, the town of Princeville is the first incorporated town in the country by freed slaves. And there are so many wonderful efforts going on there to infuse heritage and farming and community. It just depends upon what time of the year. There's the Princeville Homecoming that's coming up in August. A lot of activities on August 9th and 10th to celebrate farmers in that area. We know that Eastern North Carolina has a lot of farming. There's also the Black Farm Tour, which is where you can ride around on bicycles and visit different farms within that Edgecombe County area. That's also in August. But, you know, Eastern North Carolina is Mother Nature's playground, and that is, in fact, sort of the catchphrase of Bladen County, which is down near Wilmington, but again, a bit inland. Jeremy was talking about public art. And you know, I love just thinking about picking a point on the map, like Christina said that she did when she first moved here, and going there, the town of Roseboro, the city of Clinton, there's barn quilts there. You can find, they have a barn quilt trail, lots of wonderful public art in these little towns that you might not expect.
And Jeremy, any other far off suggest? I feel like we've covered so much. So like, what's left? What is left for those longer road trips?
Yeah, what's left? No, I think one of the things is that think of a place that everybody goes, and then think of the town that is next to that town, and maybe consider going to that town. So if you're going to go to Asheville, I've been to Asheville many, many times. I love Asheville. Asheville's great. How much Asheville can I possibly discover that I haven't discovered at this point? Maybe not as much as I used to when it was brand new to me. But Hendersonville, next town down, you should check it out. It's got a great scene. The downtown is kind of, they took like a 4-lane road and made it into like this little 2-lane walkway with trees. And it's like, it's very walkable. It's surprisingly walkable. You're in, if you go around apple picking season, that's the place to go. Black Mountain, also near Asheville. So a lot of places, like think of the place next to the place and maybe check that place out. If you're going to go to the Smokies, again, if we're going to stick with the mountains, you know, you can go to Gatlinburg, but everybody wants to go to Gatlinburg. But maybe you should go to Bryson City or Silva or all these little towns that are within kind of striking distance. And one of the things is as long as you kind of say, you know, I'm not going to have every single amenity that I would have if I was going to a bigger city. If I'm going to, you know, I mean, if you go to Gatlinburg, I mean, Gatlinburg's fine. You don't need 15 pancake houses. Maybe you just need one really good restaurant. That is what you're going to find maybe in a small town that you can kind of come to over and over again. So, you know, Bryson City, if you're going to the Smokies, I went there once. The hiking is great. There's a lot of like, there's one of everything that you need. So consider doing that. I think even out toward the coast, maybe you stop off in a place like Kinston. If you're heading down that direction, and just kind of explore the place. Like I think the Inner Banks are really, really great, like Edenton, other places. Try there, and you'll find it's a little bit less crowded. And if you're just kind of trying to chill for a couple of days, maybe that's the place to set up your home base.
Carol.
I love that, Jeremy. And to pick up on your comment of visiting places that are not as crowded, we were talking to a park ranger from the Division of Parks and Recreation here in North Carolina. And we asked him when I say we, it was on a podcast that Uplift has. And we were asking him, what are the tips about, you know, which park to visit? And he said, you know, don't go to the ones in the cities, go to the ones out and in, far out. And we certainly have so very many ones of those. The Lumber River State Park would be one I could suggest.
I want to talk about adaptability when it comes to traveling and road tripping. I mean, you can have the most well thought out trip planned, and it could just be a day trip, a simple, you know, go out 1 or 2 hours, come back, and something could go wrong. A kid gets sick or is just not in a good mood, or, you know, you arrive at your destination and it's just not what you thought it was going to be. I wonder if you all have some personal experience of having to pivot or adapt to a trip that wasn't the one that you thought you were going to take. Does anyone have an example of that? Jeremy.
Yeah, I mean, I think this really has a lot to do with around food and weather, right? So if you go to your place that you have your heart set on going, and then you get there and you're like, guess what? It's a 2 hour wait. What now? Are you going to cut bait and go, or are you going to do something else? And same thing with the beach or something else where you had like maybe a hike planned, something outdoors, and it's raining all day long. What do you do? And I think at least for me, if you set the expectation that as long as kind of you have your bases covered and you don't have your heart 100% all your eggs in one basket on a particular place, and you're open to discovery, and you try to at least set that expectation. Does it always work? No, but at least if you're trying to set that expectation, I think it's a little bit better. And the two examples I have are, this is one, it's not even in North Carolina, but going to Philadelphia and getting like trying to get like one of the two iconic cheesesteaks, you know, and you're like, I gotta have it from here. I feel lost if I do not do this very quintessential Philadelphia thing. And then you're like, I have to wait in line for 2 hours. But there's a place right down the street that gets no love. I'm gonna go there, and now I have an hour and a half of like free time that I can like spend to just walking around and enjoying myself. So it's changing that mindset. The other thing is, yeah, like going here, you know, like we were at the Sea Witch here. We always go down here at Carolina Beach. We got there a little bit too late, and the wait was like an hour and a half. And it was like, what do we do? Well, there's a boardwalk right there. We're gonna take the kids along there. And literally the activity was, there are swings facing the ocean. The kids got on the swings with their cousins, and they just were swinging and giggling for like an hour. And we were like, we don't do anything. We're just gonna sit here and hang out. So just being open to that adaptability thing where it's like, you don't have to have everything scheduled down to the second. It's more of a mindset thing, but I think as long as you are like, I am going to have a total experience on this vacation versus like, I'm putting all my eggs in the basket of like, this food must live up to the expectation. If you can do that, that's great. And I think it'll go a long way, especially on vacation where things can be stressful.
Christina, any other tips?
Oh yeah, I definitely can relate. I think in our early years of blogging, we would go on press trips with our kids where everything was scheduled to the minute, and there wasn't flexibility, and you weren't able to adapt. And that was some of the most stressful trips that I've ever had, because what am I going to, I've got to go here and I got to go here. And so my husband's got to take the kid out here. And so my favorite saying is that routines are for routine places. That goes for sleep habits, for meals, for all the things, that you keep your routines where you've got a routine place. Otherwise, you know, let's be happy and grateful that we're here and we're experiencing something, even if it's not what we expected. The amount of times that we have booked, you know, an entire week with plans to just be outside and go hiking, and it rained and it was muddy, and you know what? We did those hikes in the rain and it was fun. And as long as you're safe and, you know, it's not lightning, you end up having the waterfall all to yourself, which is kind of amazing. The pictures don't pan out. But you know what? We were there. We did it. It was great.
Carol.
I think that's when the discovery happens. And if we lean into that, those memories are sometimes going to be the best stories that we have to share.
Well, there's an unavoidable environmental footprint when we travel, whether that's by car, whether that's by, you know, airplane. But let's focus on car because we're on the road today. Does anyone have any tips or tricks for people who are looking to travel sustainably and to lessen their environmental impact when they are on the road? Has anyone discovered anything in their years of traveling, Jeremy?
This is not necessarily your question's about cars. I think just trying to, find the most direct route or just like lessening that impact. You can only kind of do what you can do. I am not employed by the trains, folks, but I just find myself a spokesman for the train all the time. I just took the train from Greensboro to Raleigh on Tuesday to go see a friend and to basically spend like 2 or 3 hours there. And I did the math because I'm a dad. It cost me the exact same in gas and time to get from Greensboro to Raleigh than it would to drive. Also, you get to be on a train. You don't have to physically drive. You can get up and walk around, especially if you take the North Carolina trains as opposed to like the straight up Amtrak trains. The leg room, there's so much leg room. I can't even touch the seat in front of me with my feet. So it is a great experience if you're traveling with one or two people. It actually makes cost-effective sense to get between different towns in North Carolina. I just would highly recommend it. I love it so much. And in most places, Charlotte, I know, is going to get there with the Gateway Station. But in everywhere else in North Carolina, it dumps you out right downtown, and you can just walk around, or even you can check a bike for free. And you can just bring your bike and bike around the town and then put your bike back on the train and head home at the end of the day. I cannot say enough about the trains.
Carol, do you have any tips?
You know, Jeremy said a lot there.
He did.
And I agree. The type of sustainability that I love to focus on from an environmental standpoint is enjoying the environment with a low impact. I don't know about the car situation. I echo what Jeremy said, but you know, kayaking on the Lumber River with the Koharri tribe, who can, you know, tell you about the culture while you're enjoying the Black Lumber River. That is, I think, the appreciation of our environmental resources and doing something low impact while contributing to the local economy. That's the areas of sustainability that I like to focus on as well.
Carol, I'm going to stick with you for a minute. I want to talk about the efficacy around traveling. There's no secret that this is not just a North Carolina issue. It's an issue all over the country. When it comes to places, I'm thinking of certain places that claim to be like an animal sanctuary, and maybe they aren't actually an animal sanctuary. They're, you know, a home for exotic animals that may or may not be treated well. If you're someone who wants to, you know, research that ahead of time, where do you even find that data to make sure you're going to a place that is treating animals with respect and all that good stuff?
Oh, I love this question. This is my topic. Well, first of all, you mentioned sanctuaries. So the Global Federation of Animal Sanctuaries is somewhere that you can go to see who the accredited sanctuaries are around you or where you're going. Now, that doesn't mean that if they're not on that list, they're not a member, they're not accredited. I'll mention one in North Carolina that I'm just a real big fan of, and that's Piedmont Farm Animal Refuge. So, you know, when you think about sanctuaries, there's wildlife sanctuaries, but there's also farmed animal and domesticated animal sanctuaries. I wish there were one place that we could go to learn all of the good places that are animal friendly and have good animal welfare, but there's not. So visitors really have to do their research. If there's an attraction that is employing good animal welfare practices, they're going to tell you about it. And so that's a differentiating factor. So if visitors would just do their research and for half an hour, 60 minutes, they're going to find a lot of good information about how animals are fed, how they're kept, how they have agency to say no, you know, to certain experiences. In general, I would stay away from what we call the roadside zoos, the exotic animals, because then you're just supporting bad practices.
We're going to leave it there. I want to thank my guest, Christina Riley, the co-founder of NC Tripping, Carol Klein, a professor at App State, and Jeremy Markovich, the author of the North Carolina Rabbit Hole newsletter. And I also want to say a big thank you to our Charlotte Talks intern, Emmy Berger, who produced today's show. I'm Sarah D'Elia, filling in for Mike Collins. This has been Charlotte Talks. With no
particular place to go. Celebrating 25 years on the air, Charlotte Talks with Mike Collins is a production of 90.7 WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from Mazda of South Charlotte. Our executive producer is Wendy Herkey. The senior producers are Gabe Altieri and Sarah D'Elia. Our engineer is Joby Sprinkle. For more information about Charlotte Talks, to listen to past episodes, or subscribe to the podcast, visit wfae.org/charlottetalks. Additional support for WFAE programming comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.